Kings, if you would. So the book of 1 Kings and chapter number 18. All right, 1 Kings chapter number 18 is where we are. And there we go. 1 Kings 18, we want to look at verse 21. 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 21. The Lord has laid a message on my heart, and it's actually a message that I got as an idea from talking with my father. He mentioned something to me. He made kind of a light joke about something, and it really impressed, it was impressed on my heart. One of the things that he said, kind of in jest, but he said that that would make a good message title, and so I thought, you know what, I'll steal that. That would be a good message title. So the title of the message is, God is bailing us out. God is bailing us out, but bail is not B-A-I-L, like bailing us out of jail. Bail is as in the gods that the Canaanites served around the nation of Israel, B-A-A-L, all right, Baal. God is bailing us out. And it comes from 1 Kings chapter number 18 and verse 21. Notice what the Bible tells us there. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Here in this passage of Scripture, we find that the prophet Elijah is calling God's people to make a decision. Are you going to serve God or are you going to serve Baal? And if you would please remember that the term or the title Baal is a title that basically means Lord or a God. But Lord would really be the good title. There were many gods that the people around Israel would serve. There was a god of this area, and there was a god of this animal over here, and there was a god that had this name, and they would be called Baal this or Baal that. You can read about certainly Baalzebub. Then there's Baal Zephon was another one. A couple different ones that had different names that they served in that area. And when you put all of those Baals together in the plural, you would just say they were serving Baalim. And you'll find that throughout Scripture, that the children of Israel would fall into this Baal worship, and they would be serving Baalim. And so that's what exactly what's going on here in 1 Kings. And so the children of Israel are being called by Elijah to decide, are you going to serve God or are you going to serve Baal? And really what we find in our society today is that we have been, in a lot of ways, serving different gods. Gods that are different than the ones that we should be serving, certainly as Christians, but even different gods than we as a nation have been serving since our history. In our history, many of our forefathers understood the importance that we had as a society of serving the living God, the God of the Bible. But we have turned in recent days to serving other gods as a nation. But listen, it would be easy for us to talk about the different gods that our nation serves. But really, that wouldn't be any kind of a benefit to us to think about that. We ought to think about the gods that we as Christians sometimes fall into serving that are different than the God that we should be serving. Let me just list a couple of those. Number one, we are very prone to serve the God of money. Money is easy for us to serve because we are blessed with a bounty in that area. All of us are. Even the poorest among us are blessed with an abundance of money compared to the rest of the world and really mankind throughout our history. And another god would be sports. Sports is a god that is often served by our nation, but even by Christians. Recreation would be another one that I would list as one of the Baalim that we serve many times as Christians. Just whatever kind of recreation that is. Now, by the way, none of these things are evil in and of themselves. It's not wrong to have money. Even if God makes you wealthy, that is not a wicked thing. It's not wrong to enjoy sports. It's not wrong to enjoy recreation. Those are good in their place, but they very easily become gods for us. Another one would be politics. Politics can become a god. And What I want to point out to you tonight is that all four of those in the situation that we find ourselves in with this COVID-19 outbreak and the different restrictions that have been put on society, I would have you notice that all four of those gods in one measure or another have been taken from us. Money is certainly not something that many people are too excited about these days. If you haven't noticed, the stock market has been on a real roller coaster, and just even today it went down below 20,000, the Dow Jones did, and it had erased many of the gains that had we had seen since 2016 and 2017. And so a lot of people are panicking over that. Sports has certainly been taken from us. You can hardly find a sporting event on television these days. And if you do, it is an old one from a couple years ago, some tournament that was played. And so that's been taken from us. When the biggest news around us in sports regards the Bears and who they trade for quarterback, you know that everybody is desperate for sports sports news. Right, Brother Pritchett? All right, very good. And then obviously recreation as well. We've been called upon to pretty much stay in, and that's been taken from us. Politics, whether you're Republican, Democrat, somewhere in between, those things have been taken from us in that they're all disappointing in these days, aren't they? All sides are really being beat up politically through all this that is going on. Well, we can look at it this way. We can get upset about those things. We can get sad about those things. Or we can recognize, listen, this is a blessing from God. God is bailing us out. God is helping us to get rid of those Baalim in our lives, those gods that we have a tendency to serve. He's taking them from us in one form or another and reminding us that those things aren't important, that He is important, that even when all those things are taken away, He remains faithful. And tonight I want to encourage you that you can have hope because God is faithful. And this ought to be a time really where we look optimistically toward the future. And boy, I've noticed that even some of my preacher friends have a tendency to get very discouraged during this time and have a tendency to think, oh, it'll never be the same. And I would submit to you tonight that that's not necessarily bad. Now, I don't know if it'll ever be the same or not. I have a tendency to think that things will return to normal. And actually, before too long, we'll look back on this and say, well, everything's back to normal. I just have a feeling that that's the way that it'll be. But even if it isn't, listen, that's not a curse. That's a blessing. That's a blessing that we're forced to look to God, and that God will, I believe, if it never returns to normal, then God will really become, for those of us who love the Lord, our all in all. And that's a good thing. Last time I checked, that's called revival. And last time I checked, we've been praying for revival. We ought to be encouraged about these things. But God is bailing us out. I want to look at 1 Kings chapter number 18 and share just a few thoughts with you from God's Word that we can see that Elijah called Israel to do four things in our passage of Scripture. Not in the verse we read. We just read one verse. But in the following verses, Elijah called on Israel to do four things. And I want to apply those four things to you and to me tonight. And I'll give you that message, and then we will be done with the service here tonight. But let's pray, and then we'll look at 1 Kings 18 and find these four things. Dear Lord, it is a privilege to be able to stand behind this pulpit and to preach Your Word and to be able to say, thus saith the Lord. Thank You for that privilege. Now, Lord, I need You tonight. I am not able to preach this with any power or authority, with any efficacy at all, Lord, if You don't help. Lord, it's worthless for me to get up here and just talk. But I know, Lord, that by Your Holy Spirit, You can do great and mighty things. And Holy Spirit, I'm asking You to do that, not for my sake, but for Jesus' sake. And I'm trusting You to do that. And I thank You. You've said in Your Word, without You, I can do nothing. And I agree. I admit, You are right. I can do nothing without You. So, Holy Spirit of God, would You please, would You work in a mighty way? Would You glorify the name of Jesus Christ? Would You lift Him up and magnify Him? And would You edify Your church tonight? Use Your Word to do it, and please bring us to a place of revival. Not just revival in name, but true revival. Start with me. Work with me, Lord. Mold me and make me. Take away the gods that I serve just by nature. take them away from me and cause me to serve the one true God. Do the same for each and every one of the church members, those who are guests of ours, but are guests on a regular basis, all of us, anyone listening or watching via the internet, let this be a blessing and help to them. In Jesus' name, amen. So here in 1 Kings 18, of course, we read verse 21 where Elijah calls them to decide who they're going to serve. But may I remind you that in chapter 17, God had used Elijah to go to Ahab the king and say, there is not going to be any rain here in Israel until I say so. And of course, he had prayed extensively before that. God had given him that promise. And he stood upon that promise. And of course, it hadn't rained for 3.5 years. There was a great drought. King Ahab and his servants were out looking for water. That's how bad the drought was. And not only looking for water, but they were looking for food for their animals. Well, the people of Israel were serving Baal, but Baal couldn't bring rain. And so Elijah was moved by God to show himself to Ahab and to talk to Ahab. And so he went to Ahab and he said, let's call all the prophets of Baal. Let's go to Mount Carmel and we'll have a showdown there. And we will build two altars and we'll put bullocks on those altars. And we'll pray to our separate gods. And whichever God brings down fire from heaven, we'll know that that's the one true God. And so Elijah gets up there and the prophets of Baal get up there and all of them begin to call down fire from heaven, praying and asking Baal to send fire. And of course, nothing happened. It was crickets, silence, nothing happened. And then, of course, Elijah steps on the scene and we kind of take up there that Elijah did four things. When Baal could not answer by fire, here's what Elijah did. Notice with me, if you would, verse 29. And it came to pass, when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offerings of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time, and they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time, and they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass, at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord. Hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell, and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, he is the God, the Lord, he is the God. And Elijah said to them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon, and slew them there. In this passage of Scripture, we find that Elijah called on the people of Israel to do four things, or he was participant in these four things. First of all, they had to repair the altar of the Lord. And I would say to us that because the gods that we have served, as I mentioned before, have not helped us, and God's showing us that now, we're without those things. Because those things have not helped us, just like the Baalim of Elijah's day didn't help the children of Israel, then we should also repair the altar of the Lord. That's the very first thing in verse 31. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, on whom the word Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And you and I should repair the altar of the Lord. Now, what does an altar picture? It pictures sacrifice. An altar was built for a sacrifice to be laid on it, a burnt sacrifice. Well, what does the Bible say about that regarding you and me? We are to be a living sacrifice. Romans chapter 12 talks to us about that we ought to offer ourselves up as a living sacrifice. And so let me encourage you that repairing the altar of the Lord is a picture of sacrifice. You see, when Elijah called them to get back to serving the Lord and repairing the altar of the Lord, because by the way, we find out in the next chapter that Elijah tells God that they had been tearing down the altars of the Lord. Elijah called them to repair that altar. He did so in a way that reminded them of who they were. Look again at verse 31 and notice what the Bible tells us there. He took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob. Now notice the end of the verse. Unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. God takes the time to write that in that verse, to mention that in that verse, and preserve it for us. He could have just said, Elijah took 12 stones and built an altar, but he specifically mentions that it was according to the number of the tribes and the word of the Lord, or unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. It's as if God is trying to remind us and remind them that they belong to Him. God is the one who gave them the name Israel. God is the one that made those tribes a nation. And may I remind you that God has made you and me Christians? The reason you're called Christian is not because you were born in the United States of America or born into a Christian home or raised in an independent Baptist church. The reason you are a Christian is God intervened in your life. You've been born again. And so that ought to remind us that because of that, we ought to be a sacrifice. Israel should have sacrificed to the Lord. Why? Because they belong to Him. You and I need to sacrifice to our God because we belong to Him. So we too need to repair the altar. Let me give you three altars in your life that you and I should repair. Number one, we should repair the church altar. The altar where we serve God in the local church. And I would put this as two bullet points under that in my notes anyway. We should repair the church altar by church attendance. You know, one of the things about the situation that we're in is I hope, I trust that all of us begin again to take church attendance seriously. Because the truth of the matter is, tomorrow it could be gone. Are we learning that or aren't we learning that? Today, it is very weird, as it was on Sunday, to preach to pretty much an empty auditorium, knowing that many of you are watching via live stream. That's a blessing, and we can be a part of things. But it is just not the same. In the last couple of days, I have been struggling with the fact that I miss each and every one of you. I know that sounds strange, but I do. I wish you were here. I wish we could fellowship together. But at this time, we're not able to do that the way we used to, at least for now. We're trusting and praying that that will soon return. But listen, we need to remember that when the church doors open again to the public, when we're able to meet again and we're tempted to stay at home, when maybe things aren't perfect, maybe we had a hard day and it's a temptation to just say, you know what, I'm going to ignore it this time. Listen, remember tonight and remember that this is important. Let's repair the altar of the Lord in church attendance. And not only church attendance, but let me say this, church service. We have to repair the altar of the Lord of church service. We're here and we gather together not just to check off a box and say, well, I made it to church. We're here to serve one another. One of, if not the greatest hardships about us not being able to meet together is not that you can't hear preaching. Listen, there's lots of good preaching that you can hear on the internet, on via Christian radio and things like that. Now, none as good as you get on this channel here. That's right. Amen. Thank you. I like that. I got a couple of amens out of the auditorium. That's good. But listen, there is good preaching, but it's not just good preaching. We need the church so we can serve one another. So I can be served, so you can be served, so we can serve one another. And we need to remember that when God allows us to meet together again, let's remember that when we come to church not just to check off a box, but when you're here, look around and recognize there are people that need your help and serve them. Get your eyes off of yourself and what you like or don't like and what makes you comfortable or uncomfortable and serve those around you. We need to also repair not just the church altar, but the family altar. Let me encourage each one of us during this time to recognize that, you know, one of the things that we should be doing, especially if you have a family, is you ought to have a time of family devotions. And I'll be honest with you, it's one of the weaker areas in my life as a husband and as a father with all the busyness of life, with the different things that go on. It is one of the easiest things for me to forget about or to let go or to get lazy about. But friends, we need that time. Your children, your wife needs that time. Husbands, spend time with your wife, praying with her. Take the time, maybe even tonight, husbands, as you're laying in bed before the two of you fall asleep, let me encourage you to take the time to ask your wife. Just say, "Sweetheart, what would you like me to pray with you about? What burden is on your mind? Is there anything that is weighing heavy on your heart that I can pray with you about?" It'd be good for you. It'd be good for your wife. She needs that. You need that. Ask your children the same thing. Ask your sons and your daughters, "What can I pray with you about? What's burdening your heart? How are you feeling in this time? And what can we take before the Lord? Let's repair that family altar." And by the way, it shouldn't just be a time right before bed or first thing when we get up. It ought to be something where prayer and a devotional life is a daily and moment-by-moment part of our life. Normal as breathing. And then not only the church altar and the family altar, but a personal altar. If you have not been spending personal time in devotions with the Lord, then you need to tonight, do it tomorrow morning. Spend that time, repair the altar of the Lord. Get rid of the Baal in your life and spend time with the Lord. And then let me point to the second area where Elijah wanted the children of Israel to change some things, not only repair the altar of the Lord, but look at verse number 36. As he gets up, and of course he had put the bullock on the altar and he put the wood there. He had poured or had them pour a lot of water on top of it. Verse 36 now, "And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, 'Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that Thou art God in Israel, and that I am Thy servant, and that I have done all these things at Thy word.'" The first part of Elijah's prayer, you know what he was praying for? God to be glorified. And I would say this, that ought to be our desire. And I believe that God is taking these gods out of our lives so that we can get our focus back on what is important. Politics are not important. Sports are not important. Recreation is not important. And money is definitely not important. God's glory is important. Let's worry about glorifying the God of heaven. It was Elijah's great desire. And let me ask this question of all of us. What's our desire right now? If we could have one wish granted, one prayer answered, what would that prayer be? For many of us, sadly, the prayer would be, "Lord, I just want things to return to normal." But you know, that's the wrong prayer to pray. And I'm not saying we shouldn't ask God for things to return to normal. I sure would like it to return to normal. But you know, a better prayer than that would be to pray, "Lord, would you glorify your name at this time? Lord, would you be sure that in all of this, whether you allow it to go back to normal or whether we stay this way for a long time, Lord, that your name would be magnified." Elijah's prayer wasn't, "Dear God, would you please restore everything to the way it was in King David's day?" It was, "Lord, show them you are God." And that ought to be our prayer as well. You see, we can glorify God right now. Right now, in this crisis that we're in, you can glorify God. You can glorify God, first of all, by being hopeful because of God's promises. Not being down in the dumps, not being full of despair, not causing others to fear, but being hopeful. And we talked about that a little bit on Sunday. Be hopeful. Be optimistic. Listen, friends, one of the things that I've noticed recently, I've been very disappointed in some of the different preachers that are on radio, that are on the internet and different things, especially those who talk about prophecy and those things, because one of the things that I've heard, and I've only heard a couple, so I'm not making a blanket statement about every preacher on television or the radio or internet or anything that talks about prophecy, but the couple that I've heard, they have used this as an opportunity to talk to people about how the one world government is being ushered in. And I have two words for anybody who brings that up. Well, duh. The one world government has been being brought in for a long time. This is a big leap that way. I recognize that. And I don't want to diminish that. I don't want to make anyone feel dumb or inadequate. But listen, yes, of course it is. So let me ask you this question. If that's true, which I believe it is, what does the Bible say to do? You know what the Bible says to do? Glorify God. Occupy till I come. We have a job to do. And that job to do is not to sit down and sit in our homes and twiddle our thumbs and worry ourselves and wring our hands and wonder what we're going to do and is there going to be enough? Am I going to have enough supply of this? Am I going to have enough supply of that? Is it going to be okay? Am I going to have money? Is it all going to be bad? You know, whatever the question is, the answer is, let's get busy for God, trusting God, living for Him, being a testimony, and be hopeful. What you find in God's Word is, when God's people had faith in God, they were full of hope because God's promises are true. We should be being hopeful. We should also be praising the Lord. I read Psalm 148 as a part of the scripture reading this evening. I read that for a reason, because that psalm over and over says, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord, all ye saints of His. It goes, the heavens of heavens should praise the Lord. It talks about the beasts and the creeping things. I think that means all of us, right? We should be praising God. And that psalm was not negated just because things went bad. We should be praising the Lord in all things. And friends, it does no good to praise the Lord in the quietness of your home, just between you and your family. How about going outside where your neighbors are lost and don't know God? And how about praising the Lord in front of them? What a testimony that would be to our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers right now. What a testimony that would be. We should not only be hopeful and we should not only praise the Lord, but we should witness. I heard a pastor pray something like this recently, or make this statement recently, that he is hopeful that in the years to come, there will be many people who said this. They'll say, I got saved during the coronavirus outbreak. You know, I think that's a good way to look at that. That should be our prayer. Lord, let this work out in such a way that multitudes come to know Jesus as their Savior, are born again in the family of God due to the coronavirus and all that's going on. Let's you and me take the opportunity during this time to glorify God by, here you go, stepping up our witness, going the extra mile, giving out more tracts, speaking about Jesus even more than we ever have before, giving out the gospel. Let's step the game up rather than take it back a notch. So the third thing that Elijah wanted the children of Israel to do, let's finish these third and fourth things here pretty quickly. We looked at verse 36 already. Let's look at verse 37. Elijah finishes his prayer. He says, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that Thou art the Lord God, and that Thou hast turned their heart back again. That's the third thing that we need to do, is allow our hearts to be turned back to God. And again, that's one of the benefits of the Baalim being taken out of our life, is our hearts are then even more easily prone to be turned back to God. The things that were taking up our time and were taking up our affection, now we can, those are gone. Now we can turn our affections back to the Lord. And let me encourage you, get your heart on the Lord and worship Him and love Him. And you know how to fall in love with somebody? Spend time with them. That's how you fall in love with somebody. When you spend time with somebody, it is a natural tendency then for your affections to be drawn to them. So if you want to fall in love with the Lord, spend time with Him. And you will see your affection turn toward Him. And then number four, the last thing that they needed to do, according to Elijah's instructions here, look at verse number 40. And Elijah said to them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. The prophets of Baal need to be done away with. In other words, this, the things that when we look at our lives and we say, you know what, I've been worshiping that thing, that's been a god in my life, and God took that away. You know what we need to do? We need to get rid of those things. Because if we don't, listen, again, as I mentioned to you, I believe that things will return to normal fairly soon. Whether or not they do, could be wrong, doesn't really matter. But if they do, here's going to be our tendency to go right back to where we were. And you know what the truth of the matter is? Our tendency is to go back to where we were, even worse than we were before. if we don't get rid of the things that are our gods. And I don't know what that means for you. I can't tell you what that means for you, because for each individual, those things are a little bit different. But the money, the sports, the recreation, the politics, some of those things, we need to do away with some of the profits that bring them into our life. For some of us, perhaps, the answer is this. You need to get rid of the sports subscriptions that you have, or get rid of the things that you normally would watch in the political shows, or maybe the recreation that has become a god to you. Maybe you need to sell that item that is a part of that recreation, or get rid of it, or maybe it's worrying about money, and maybe you need to even take some investments that you have and just take those and invest them rather in spiritual things and turn that into an investment in heaven. Again, I don't know. I'm not about to tell anyone what each individual person needs to do, but you and I need to be ready and willing to get rid of those prophets of Baal in our lives. The children of Israel had to do that, and thankfully they did. You and I need to do the same. So when God is bailing us out, let's take advantage of that opportunity and say, Lord, thank you for this wonderful opportunity to focus on revival in my personal life, to grow in my love for you. Thank you for taking away the false gods that I've been worshiping. What I'm going to do at this time is I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to close with a word of prayer. And then when I'm done praying, we will be done and the service will end. Let me encourage you to remember to pray over the things in the list that we sent to you tonight. Pray for one another, reach out to one another, care for one another, minister to others. If you have a need, you can be sure to reach out to us and we'll try to meet whatever needs we can. We want to be a blessing and help. Let us know if you have things that you need prayer about. But in the meantime, let's be sure that we get rid of the gods that we have been serving. And let's do like Elijah said in verse 21, where he came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. And you know what? If God is God, and He is, let's follow Him. Let's pray. Dear Lord, how I thank you again for the opportunity to preach your word. Thank you for the service tonight. Lord, it's been a blessing and a privilege to be able to stand behind the pulpit to open up your word and to declare, thus saith the Lord. Thank you for that. Now, Lord, would you show us each individually in our lives where the Baalim are, where we've been serving other gods, and would you forgive us, and would you bring us revival? Lord, again, I ask you to begin with me and work through all of us. Now, Lord, would you meet the needs that we've already asked for tonight? We're trusting you for that. Would you encourage every heart? If anyone is depressed or discouraged, downtrodden because of the circumstances, would you draw each one of us close to you, I pray. And Lord, that we would even see those things fall away, that as we sang on Sunday, that our eyes would be turned upon Jesus, that the things of this earth would grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Let that be true in all of our lives tonight and throughout this week. Please protect each one. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.